Well, good morning. You know, I thought of something as I was heading my way up to the stage. And as you saw through my background a little bit, you'll notice that I spent 14 years working for breed associations. 14 years. And you know, I can say with 100% honesty, this is the first time I've talked to a breed group that I can't be fired. I talked with Jim Gosey the other night, and Jim Gosey said, you know, I remember 1986. He said, it was a terrible time in my career. He said, you know, a guy wanted me fired that year. And I looked at him and said, you want sympathy from me? The truth of the matter is, and I hope you're all starting to get the picture as we're evolving this whole thing, that this industry's changing, the market's changing. Now the question has to be back to you, are you going to change? I've watched this whole Angus Association evolved the last 3 or 4 years. You have a new executive vice president. New things are happening. And I watch the reaction to the membership as these new things are happening. And as I get into my talk, I'm hoping that as you analyze that, you're analyzing the same way I do. How nervous is it making you? You know, a good friend of mine, Wes Ishmael, used to have a saying about cattle producers. His saying about cattle producers is he'd rattle his coins in his pocket. He said, you know what? Hear that rattling of those coins in my pocket? That's the only change cattle producers really like. The rest of them, they're going to fight. Okay? I want you to start, because I've done enough of these talks, and you know what I have? I talk about lots of different things over 45 minutes. When I'm done, people come up to me. Guess who comes up to me? The ones who I've said something they disagreed with and said, I have seen the light. Which ones come up to me after the talk? The ones that heard me say something that they were already doing. Right? It's the ones that heard me say, is that what we want to do today? Convert the ones who are already there? I ask each of you before we talk, and I wish I would have said it before everybody spoke, as Tom and Tom, they all did such a great job, and I feel just honored to follow in their footsteps. But the truth of the matter is, when you hear something today, are you really just going to hear what you want to hear? Or are you going to hear what you should be listening to? Because there's a big difference. I've gone to enough conferences, and I've been guilty myself. You hear something, and I saw Tom's slide, I watched the reaction. How many people remember the reaction when Tom put that one slide up that says, what they really need is something black with four legs? Did you see everybody go, oh yeah, finally the guy's saying something that makes sense. Right? Then I watched his soul slide presentation occur a little further, and we talked about hybrid seed stock. I didn't see the same jubilee. In fact, I saw guys going, boy, it wasn't as smart as I thought it was. The challenge you have before you today is to decide which group you want to be part of. Are you going to be willing to change or you're not be willing to change? First thing I'm going to start off with is I have to get a mindset right before I get started in a speech, because when you hear people like Tom Brink and Randy Block, and they're so doggone much smarter than I am, I have to pull you back in. Because when I say something, unfortunately I mean it just the way I said it. There's no underlining meaning or any third party. It has to be negotiation. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you some obvious things about my background, and based on that, I want you to find out additional information you can derive from my family from that, okay? I'm going to give you a piece of information, and based on that, logic, big picture thinking is going to tell you this is also probably true. He did a nice job of describing my family. Family farm operation in Kimball, Minnesota. Did he mention I was born and raised with 9 children? So I had 8 siblings with me. 9 in the family. What do you know about my family now, if you're thinking big picture and obvious? Who said Catholic? Okay, we're a Catholic family. You're now on the wavelength that I'm trying to do with this whole common sense thinking, okay? Now, let's move it a step further. Of those 9 children, did he mention they were all boys? 9 boys, no girls. Now what have you learned about my mother? Okay? Most people stick their chest out and say, God, she's a saint. Until you realize the golden rule I used to live upon was, if you ain't bleeding, she doesn't want to hear about it. Okay? So we're kind of pulling in these common sense kind of things now, okay? Now I want to take it one further. And this is one that just befuddled. I got an opportunity to go visit with the Dean of Agriculture at the University of Minnesota, okay? And the department head at the University of Minnesota for animal science. And again, these guys think way too complicated for me. And they weren't expecting my response. But they said, you know, you lived in Minnesota. We got a fine animal science department in Minnesota. Why did you go to Texas A&M University to go to school? And I said, well, I want you to answer that question because it'll help you focus on what you need to be thinking about. I said, I want you to answer that question. And of course, in their typical fashion, the Dean of Agriculture goes, well, I remember the curriculum back in 1987, and it seems like we were a little light on production agriculture. And I smiled, and the department head goes, well, I wasn't here during that period, but wasn't there a sense of more meat stuff occurring down at Texas A&M than what was occurring at University of Minnesota? And I said, okay, we've discovered the problem. And they said, what do you mean? I said, I went to Texas A&M because it was warm. And you know what? Girls wear shorts year-round. Refocus to the obvious. Now, as I go through here, we're going to kind of go through fast because I only got 35 minutes and 31 seconds left to speak. And I haven't even gotten to my first slide. Which way is forward? I guess it's to the right. Okay, family operation, we've gone in here. One thing I wanted to talk about, because I am talking about the competition, is there's going to be some competition. As you look at who we are, of these eight brothers, we have Bachelor of Science degrees at the Kansas State University, Iowa State University, Michigan State University, South Dakota State University, North Dakota State University, Texas A&M University, and yes, Dr. Field, Colorado State University. As you start to think about who you're going to be competing with you, remember, they're starting to get groups of people who are going to try and get pretty competitive with you on what it's going to take to survive. Now, before John Crouch thought it was easy having his board of directors, I thought I'd throw this up here. I used to think dealing with the Gelvey board of directors was tough till I met this crew. That's my family. That's my board of directors. And you know what, John? They don't leave the board after 3 years. Here's who we are. I think Jim Shirley did an extremely good job explaining who we are. We have these 700 cows. We market about 300 Angus Balancer and Sim Angus bulls, and we have all this stuff, etc. And that's going to be the basis for what I discuss, okay? Not trying to do an ad message, but this is the basis for what I'm going to discuss. And also, and this is going to include a little bit, so maybe something more unique about us is not only do we sell bulls, is we buy back the progeny from those bulls, feed them out, and share the carcass information with our customers. So we buy bulls, or steers, and heifers out of our bull genetics. Okay? Warning. If you thought Tom was discomfortable or uncomfortable to you, and maybe it made your heart flutter, you better leave the room. Because what you're about to hear may cause you discomfort. Because, and I got the approval from Bill before we talked. He said, well, what are you going to talk about? And I said, Bill, I will only promise you one thing. I will tell the truth. And Bill got uneasy and goes, well, any kind of, you send me those slides in advance? And I said, no, we'll just pretend what we're just going to go forward with it. Who is the competition? We heard Tom talk about the Gelvey breed, the Simmental breed. We heard about poultry and others. Who is the competition? If you look at what's it going to take to succeed in this beef industry, who the future competition is, who is it? I'll give you a hint. This is where you come to the big picture. I tried to lead off my talk with a background on it. Who's going to prevent you from being successful? Who's going to allow you to be successful? It's you. It's absolutely you. Okay? I don't remember who said it because unlike Tom who quotes people and gives them credit, I can't remember who says anything. You have found the enemy and it is us. It was Pogo? Some guy named Pogo. I don't know the guy. Didn't matter that I knew him. I knew his quote. I want you to think about this slide as you think about everything you discussed in the Angus business. We have found the enemy and it is us. You know, when I ran an association, you know, it was really obvious after about, a couple of years working for a breed association. There's 10% that are going to complain about everything. Okay? Any new change, anything that ruffles their feathers at all, you have just about to end their world as it exists. Okay? Then what's remarkable is there's about 2 or 3% that listen close to what you're doing. They analyze what you're doing. They look at dollar value indexes. They don't cuss them. They look and study them. And they say, how can we make Angus cattle better using this technology? Okay? There was a huge discussion in this breed and a pathetic discussion in this breed regarding the use of ultrasound. Is ultrasound more accurate than carcass? No. Can you make selection improvement a lot faster with ultrasound? Absolutely. What are we in the business of doing? Improving genetics, right? How you can disregard or pretend like ultrasound shouldn't matter in today's day and age where carcass matters is beyond understanding for me. Okay? That's the mindset I want you to refocus around and grab. Okay? Yeah, it might make you mad a time or two. I got this from Tom Field. And as I was putting this together, my brother Tim, he works at a company called Swift. He buys a lot of fed cattle there. He's their value-based procurement guy. As I went through my talk, he said, well, you're giving them our business plan. He said, we would never do that at Swift. We aren't going to go up to a group of people who are selling bulls against us and tell them what you're going to do and what you think it makes success make sense. He said, we'd never sit down with IVP and says, here's how we're going to make your money. How are you going to do yours? And I thought about that. Why am I willing to tell you? Goes back to what I said earlier. Goes back to what I'm saying. Why can, in this industry, why can we tell you our business plan? And in other industries, you can't. Why can't I? Because the odds of you changing is very small. And that's the cold, hard truth. I can tell you exactly what we're doing, and you'll nod your head. And whatever you happen to want to hear, you'll agree with it. Go, yeah, that makes sense. And you're already doing it anyway, so I said I was going to tell them everything. How many people remember when raising cattle was easy? I went through this year at the Breed Association. What mattered in seed stock production? And I'll give you a hint. What mattered in seed stock production at this time? Size. Do you remember the judges that you hired? We gave around and pretended like these were the experts in evaluating cattle. What were they doing? Lining up biggest to smallest. My 8-year-old daughter could have judged during this era. Okay? Why did we do it this way? Why did we do it this way? Why were people upset when we took this away and we started talking about EPDs? This is when the EPD revolution came around. Remember when we as breed association guys, John, you got to remember, when we started talking about EPDs and we went from this to, well, how about looking at EPDs? How many people could understand why this animal is champion during this era? How many people could understand it today? Pretty easy, isn't it? I bet you if you check the crowd and they said, I wonder why that bull won, I bet everybody would come up with the answer. Okay? Now, let's say we had to throw in EPD profiles, etc. And by the way, we got the EPD profile on this bull later on. Think he was a great one? If you were just to suspect, knowing that it is a gelvy, by the way, okay, and he is big, what do you think his major problem was? Birth weight is a nice way of saying it. He killed cows. Okay? So we got a champion that killed cows. Was there a reason to change? I think so. Okay? So we move beyond this. And the beef business has changed, and it will never, ever, ever go back. You can wish all you want about how you wished it would go back to the simpler, easier days. I have news for you. It will not go back. Okay? These dollar value indexes that this Angus association developed. They are not going back in a box and disappearing. You better learn how they work, encompass them into your breeding program, and figure out how to make it your advantage. Okay? Tom talked about some sensitive issues on hybrids. You can't just stick them back in a box, close it up, and say, guess what? That was a bad idea. We're not talking about it ever again. Because guess what? Does the market really care what you think? Tom Brink's company controls 9% of the fed cattle. Tom, can you control the market? I thought I heard you say you couldn't. What can each one of us do? You better figure out what's happening. There's a story I used to tell. It's about watching trends go, okay? And the most important thing about looking to the future is seeing a trend and then positioning yourself for the trend, okay? Whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. And I have to say I'm probably biased because early in life I was faced with having to deal with the trend. I don't know if anybody can think about what it might have been. But about age 21, I was looking in the mirror each morning and not seeing a trend I particularly liked. Now, I had a couple of choices. I could have got mad, cried, and just went, I don't like being bald. Couldn't have I? And just been really upset about it. And just whined and tried to get the government to bail me out over my head, right? I could have done that. Well, what was the smarter thing that I did? No, that's John Crouch's solution. They said, wear a cap, John. No, at that particularly important point in my life, I knew it was time to get married quickly. And so I convinced this girl to marry me, and it took a little extra begging, but it was worth it. And the bottom line is I saw a trend. I didn't like it, but I positioned myself to be successful with the trend. Now we have 3 kids. What can she do? What do our customers need? This is the paramount question that every seed stock guy must ask. What do my customers need? I want you to switch it away from yourselves, because as seed stock guys, a lot of times we're selfish. We want to say, how can I sell more Angus bulls? Well, that may sound healthy, but you know what's healthier? We figured out at our place, if our customers sell their sheeple-bine sired calves for lots of money, guess what they want? More sheeple-bine bulls. Quit being selfish and figuring out what makes them want your bulls. Why should they buy from you? Right genetics. Now I'm going to talk about this maybe in a different way. How many people have noticed that genetics are becoming increasingly similar and more difficult to differentiate from? Has anybody noticed that? Let me just do a survey. Maybe it's not happening here. Has anybody here in the room got a calf out of New Design 878 in the last 2 years? If you did, put your hand in the air. Oh, my. Anybody with any New Design genetics, put your hand in the air. Oh, my. Anybody own an EXT of anything? Well, you all have the same cattle. What's the point of raising them? You basically all have their same cattle. What you see in a genetic situation like this is they become increasingly similar. They become increasingly similar, and genetics becomes a more difficult way to differentiate you from your competitors. And if you think about it, and I'm just using semen cost basically, for $40, and I'm using a rough semen unit of semen cost, and maybe it's a little more, maybe it's a little less, but I can have whatever any one of you has basically. If I decide Tom Brink is my competitor, and I look at what Tom's been breeding, I can go to the store, buy a unit of semen for $40, and I can be 50% where he is already, just like that. If I have a little foresight and I want to make a cow similar to him, I can do this in the next generation, buy another unit for what he's using next, and an $80 investment in genetics be where he is. If I want to have 3 generations of exactly the thing, for basically $120, I can be where he is. Now, I want you to ask yourself, do you think this is going to be the differentiating point in seed stock business? The way we've evolved. Do you think that's what's going to separate you from the other guy on what they're going to pay for their bull? Now, in this Angus business, I don't follow this logic very well, but some seed stock producers suggesting that you must choose between G Cattle Company. Okay? And I'm going to say this G Cattle Company has a philosophy. Okay? Their philosophy is EPD Genetic Wonders. Okay? And that is EPD Genetic Wonders are high growth, low birth, tremendous carcass, efficient gain. That's where all their efforts are being concentrated on. Is that important? Boy, if you can't get that obvious answer correct, that's absolutely important, isn't it? But then you have Old Cattle Company running around here, okay? They're saying you need to have range, adaptable, problem-free cattle, okay? And that's really what's going to be the key for success, okay? Basically, super mamas. They have great udders, moderate size, easy flushing, and docile. Is that important? Well, if they're both important, who's right? Why can't we see that obvious? Why do we have people running around pretending like this is the only way to be successful, and others turning around saying this is the only way to be successful? When the reality and the obvious mind would say, if you really want to be successful, you better have good functional cows that have good, tremendous EPD genetic inputs. Is it complicated? I hope not. But in our industry, it's a lot easier just to go single trade, isn't it? Huh? Remember, huh? Anybody in here when they went down to the 1950s cattle? Anybody remember that? What were they thinking? And then after they got them as small as they could, what'd they do? They made them as big as they could. Okay? Why do they do that? Because it's real easy to change cattle dramatically with a single trait. What's really hard? To improve cattle collectively. You know, when we sit down to do our matings every year, and Brother Dan is kind of the guy who does all of our matings, he looks at 20 different traits that all have to be within a range that are right. That makes it a lot more difficult, doesn't it? It's not easy. You can't see, oh boy, look at this calf crap versus that calf crap. We've made some changes. Okay? If you're seeing dramatic changes from calf crap to calf crap, you're not paying attention to enough traits, because there are so many traits, every trait should be incrementally improved to the benefit of your commercial customer. I stuck that up because I missed my wife, but also I wanted to show you genetics do work, okay? The other thing I didn't tell you about as I was looking at that thing about age 21, I was pretty bright back then, and I figured out I was pretty ugly. And I said, if I'm going to have cute daughters, I better marry a pretty doggone looking wife so that we can at least average close to good looking. Okay? So there's my wife. I've got three girls. One of those girls is not mine. Can you figure out which one? That one's Timmy's. Now, she's my godchild, so I guess she counts a little. You see where genetic similarities work? You can take ugly, match beautiful, and get pretty good looking. Okay? There's a lot of people say you can't do this fire and ice. Here's proof it works. Ugly, beautiful equals very good. Now, I want you to keep in mind, I don't want you to fall for this rhetoric, because the easiest thing guys can do to you is get you on an emotional high, get you hyped up and mad at something, and convince you the wrong thing. I want to read what Pete Cattle Company said in the September 2004 edition of Beef Magazine. He said, cow-calf producers should not be persuaded to make business and genetic decisions based on what the feeding and packing industries tell us. Boy, if you agree with that statement, please exit. That is so far from what you should be thinking, I was embarrassed it was published. Okay? Who should you be worrying about? Your customers. If your customers are not caring what Tom thinks of the feeding industry, are they going to sell their calves for a lot of money? Probably not, huh? You better care what Tom thinks and what Brother Tim thinks, because guess what? It matters. That's just a bull. When you can combine some looks, you can combine some EPD profile, what's the matter with having a bull that looks like that? That's just one of our commercial bulls out in the pasture, or actually registered bulls, but it's a cleanup bull. What's the matter with one that looks like that? It's got EPDs out the wazoo. It looks okay. You can do both. Now, there's been a saying, and I don't remember what movie. I guess you're going to have to help me with that, Bill Bowman, too, now. Build it and they will come. Anybody heard that saying? I suppose Polo said that, or Pongo, or whoever the guy was. Build it and they will come. Ever heard of it? It's right, but you know what they forgot? But will they pay more? This matters, okay? You don't just want them to come. You want them to pay more, okay? That's what we're in the business to do, make a profit. We don't just want them to come, we want them to pay more. How do we do that? We talked about genetics, right? It's becoming more and more similar. It's easy for me to replicate what you are doing. In fact, our family has become geniuses at replicating what others have doing. Because you know what we figured out? It's a lot easier to sell something somebody knows about than try and start from scratch. And we found a lot of people knew what New Design 878 was. A lot of people have heard of EXT. And you know what this Angus Association has been able to do? There's a lot of commercial producers who know these sire lines. Okay? So that even puts more pressure on you to do the right thing. Customer service is quickly becoming the most effective way to differentiate seed stock operations. That's absolutely true. Now there's a little carrot to it. It's not just customer service. Because I attended a conference, I think maybe even sponsored by the Angus Association, maybe 5 years ago. And they had all these customer service guys on. And they talked about all the things they were going to do to attract customers. And as I thought about them, they forgot to say value-added customer service. Okay? And I want you to think about that a second. If you decide you're going to give 10% off for a guy who buys 5 bulls, okay? How easy is it for somebody to replicate what you just did? Is it hard or easy? It's easy. You just write it in the catalog, say 10% off, and accept their check, right? Now, will that differentiate you from me? If I can do it just as quickly, what has that customer service really done for the business? It just cost you money. All it did is increased your level of cost to produce the bull. Okay? Now, how about if I say I'm going to fully guarantee the bull for a year? I'll give a replacement bull. Is that easy for somebody to do? They have another bull. It's pretty easy to give them another bull, isn't it? Okay? What has that done to the business? Increased your bottom line, decreased your bottom line. As you look at almost every customer service seed stock guys have added, because of the ability and ease to replicate the service, it has done nothing to improve service. All it really has done is increased your bottom cost of production. Okay? Now let's go into value added. And I'm going to use this Walmart revolution. It's not really customer service, it's value added service. Let's change your mindset. Who had the best service? The local hardware store or Walmart? Who said local hardware? How come they're not around and Walmart is? If the local hardware store had the best service, and we're kind of saying he did, okay? And they're not around and Walmart is, where is the break in the logic? What service does Walmart provide? It's called a value-added service. Their service to you is we're going to provide you with a huge array of stuff you might want, all at basically a guaranteed low price. We're going to put the effort, the sweat equity, into making sure every product we provide you is priced right. Is that a service? You're darn right that's a service. If somebody's willing to do all that for you, are you going to go back and get them for you? If they're willing to make sure every time you make a purchasing decision, there's a pretty good chance it's a pretty good purchasing decision. Why have they grown? Okay, now, I see somebody shaking their heads. You know what? You know what they're saying is, I just hate Walmart. Is it about liking or hating Walmart here? It's not. We have to look at the trend, and we may hate Walmart till the end of our lives. Is the reality because you hate Walmart, are they all of a sudden their stock going to fall? Huh? Or is their stock going to plummet because you decided you hated Walmart today? No. You got to concentrate on what made them successful. As much as you may detest or hate them, what made them detesting? was their ability to create a value-added service. Their value-added service was not easy to do. How many people can go around and make sure that when you buy something at their store, it's almost guaranteed a low price? That's hard to do. You need size for that, volume, etc. That's hard to do. Please always remember this. Remember the golden rule of business. Those who write the checks write the rules. You can have as many conferences as you would like. And you know what the bottom line is? No matter what you care, those who write the checks will write the rules. I heard it another way, the golden rule. And it is those who have the gold write the rules. Okay? What does that mean? Those who write the check write the rules. If you're worrying about your commercial customers, who should you be worrying about? Who should you be having discussions with? Who writes the check to commercial cow-calf guys? Is it you? Who writes the check to them? That's Tom Brink. Right? He's the guy we just heard Pete Cattle Company say we don't care what he talks about or says, right? If you want to have control in your business, you better get to know the guys who write the check and be able to influence their buying decisions. Okay? So the question you have to ask yourself now, as we were kind of pulling this all together, and I'm at 10:37, is do you know any feeders? How many people can list 10 feeders and say, well, sure, if Joe has cattle for sale, I can call 10 feeders. You don't have to raise your hands because it might be embarrassing. That's the real key. You want to get to where there is control, and control sets right here. You got to do something to help your customers market their calves. Now, I listed a bunch of things that the Angus Association is doing to assist you with that. I hope you're taking advantage of them. I hope you're taking advantage of them. We heard from Randy Block. We heard it from Tom. We heard it from the other Tom. Is source identification going to be important? Yes. If you could help your customers in this arena, what is managing source identification going to be worth to them? Right now, Brother Tim tells me there's basically $100 per animal on the plate for Japan in the future if you can do this effectively. Okay? Now he said it's on the plate. He's going to keep half at least. So you're down to 50, but is $50 worth doing something? You bet, darn right. You better figure out this. Angus Source, I assume, is exactly the vehicle to do source identification for you that can make... Last night, he had a special feeder calf sale the day yesterday, I believe it was, or the day before. Is it important? Do his customers appreciate it? Do special feeder calf sales work? Let me just combine these two. What if you had a special feeder calf sale and you had source Angus Source tags in the ear? Would there be a chance, Jim Shirley, that at Bassett you could sell 670-pound steers? How old do you think? That's over $900 a head, isn't it, Jim? That's $915 a head, okay, because these two things. Do you think that customer is happy? That happened, didn't it, Jim? It happened. They had Angus Source tags. They're in a special feeder calf sale. They brought 915 cents per head. Tom's doing the break-even. No one else is kidding. Tom's doing the break-even over there. Do you think that customer is happy? How many people think that commercial cow-calf customer is happy? How many people think there's any chance of me taking them as a customer? Probably not. I mean, that would not be the first one I knock on the door of, okay? He's probably pretty secure in the way he's doing things. That's what you want when you get your customers. Uniform, predictable feeder cattle. Contrast this to the pictures Tom was showing you. These are all basically about three-quarter Angus, quarter Gelvy. Okay? Contrast this to Tom. These have more value? You're darn tootin' they do. Look at here. I don't have the Bassett sale, but I pulled up Superior Livestock. This is real data. These cattle basically sold in this order. They're all neighbors. They all sold within a half hour. All sold direct off the cow. All cattle were black. They had the same shot, the identical way up. I want you to look to the left. Well, it's to your right. What do you see on the prices? They price them all the same? Were they priced the same? They're all neighbors, all sold within a half hour, all direct off the call, all black, same shots, identical way up. Who do you think is the happiest? What made his ring more than his? They're his. That's what the commercial guy is asking, you know. I don't know if any of these guys are your customers. They aren't mine because I checked my database, okay? Do you think these guys are very happy? Not when they see what Bill did, okay? That's where we have to start focusing in on it. Here's the description. Out of black, white-faced cows by Sheeplebine Angus and black composite bulls, approximately 20 AI sired by new design, 100% black-hided, tremendous feeding history. This guy had in hand, thanks to our buyback program, feeding and carcass results that said they were worth a lot of money. You know? And we shared that data with him. And what did he do once we shared it with him? He did that, but what else did he do? Did he say, oh, that's good information, I'll let you buy them cheap next year? What did he say with that carcass and feeding data? Did he keep it to himself? He told it to everybody who would listen. Okay? What happens when you tell positive things to everybody that would listen? You get more money for your calves. Okay? We couldn't buy these calves. They were too high. Is Bill mad at us because we couldn't afford them? Not a bit. Okay? Now you're saying, is that just one unique example? Or is this really, truly happening? Next day's sale. Different area of the country. All neighbors. All within a half hour. Sold out the cow. Black. Same shots. Identical way up. Okay? Now the only unique thing about these is these guys all went to the same location to watch the sale. Okay? Because out there in North Dakota, they don't have satellites just everywhere. Okay? So they all went to watch the sale together, and those are the results. Okay? Are any of your customers on this list? Because I assure you, if this is your customer, I don't think he will be for long. Okay? If this guy is your customer, I would watch him closely. Read the description. Angus cross cows, sired by Sheeplebine bulls, qualify for a myriad of branded programs. Excellent. He had carcass data too. Are you seeing a trend? Just touch on this issue just briefly. Size really does matter. Okay? Size really does matter. We're right somewhere, we aren't quite at 300. We're somewhere right in here for selling bulls. I was talking with Jim Shirley last night. You know what my biggest concern is? This isn't enough. There's guys with 500 bull sales. This isn't enough. I'm not sure this is going to keep me a player. You better figure out a way for you to act in alignment with somebody if you're smaller than that, and I'm sure some are a lot bigger than that. But if you're in this range, you better try pushing towards bigger through some sort of an alignment. Why is everything getting bigger? Is it just because Americans have huge egos? Why is everything getting bigger? Why are Packers getting bigger? Why did Tom say, instead of managing 400,000 head at one time capacity, I want 800,000? Because the hair wasn't graying fast enough? Why would he do that? Doesn't want to live as long? Here are the margins for those companies, okay? And I want you to study it, and I want you to reflect on it. If you're looking at the packing industry, the average net profit per head the packing industry makes year in, year out is $5 per head. That's to kill the animal, process the animal, market the animal, all of that. $5 per head. How many guys want to do that for $5 a head? Think about that. How efficient is this guy at processing your beef at $5 per head? How efficient is he? And you're saying, there's no way, $5 per head. How can they do it for $5 per head? I got our bill from our local locker plant just about 2 weeks ago. Did he charge me $5 per head? Huh? What did he charge? $400. Okay? There's a big difference. He is doing an efficient job. Tom's doing an efficient job.
This is a scary part. If you want a $25,000 salary and you look at average margins for cow, calf, feedlot, and packer, this is how many units it takes for you to run to get $25,000. That's figuring value on your land. You either have to have 1,923 cows. Do a lot of people have 1,923 cows in here? No? You have to have 2,500 feeders or 3,571 carcasses. It takes a lot. A customer mindset. Satisfying your customer is your real priority. You've got to satisfy your customer. Now I'm going to leave you with a question, and it might build on Tom's a little. What if, and I'm not saying it necessarily is true, what if the market said a crossbred animal was necessary for your customer to be profitable? What if? Okay? Now what if the market said you needed a crossbred animal to be profitable and to satisfy Tom's needs and Tim's needs at Swift? Would you be willing to change? To me, that's the crux of the problem, or the crux of the question. Would you be willing to change, forget your ego, check it at the door, if the market said, this is what I needed, and I'm not necessarily telling it is, but if it did say it, would you be willing to say, let's giddy up and get her done? Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it a lot.